Anyway, so there was a young man named Jakob Hopfer who was embarking on to go learn in Mir. A number of years ago, he was going to learn in Mir for this man. And he was very excited to go learn in Eretz Israel, a guy from Brooklyn. His father had learned in Mir many, many years before, and knew a lot of the Rosh Yeshiva there, knew a lot of the Magid Ashir, so he was kind of excited that he, you know, to be able to go and kind of, you know, recommit, you know, continue the Masorah. Anyways, as it was coming time to leave, one of his father's Chavrusa, a Jew named Gervitz, brought him over a picture of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. When Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Reb Chaim Stuchiner, was a little kid, was 14 years old, was a teenager. And he gave it to this boy, Hopfer, and said, here, you know, you could bring this to the Rosh Yeshiva. It's like a way to get in. You know, you'll go and you'll meet the Rosh Yeshiva and you'll give him this picture and, you know, whatever. It's a way to kind of start the conversation, to introduce yourself. He's so excited. He gets to Yushalayim, he gets to Mir Yeshiva, he's learning there. And Reb Chaim, you know, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was one of the greatest of the generation. He loved this in his Shir Klalis and his Chidushim, but he was mainly known as a big Baal Machshava and Sichus Musar. He was known, you know, for his real penetrating insights on Tanakh and on Chumash. He was like an intimidating figure. He was a broad-shouldered person with a very strong, deep voice, and he was an older man, and he was, you know, one of Gedolei Ador. So it was intimidating to kind of approach him, somebody who was so great. But he had this picture that he had, you know, he had his dad, that his father learned in Mir, and then he had this picture, and it was kind of like he was waiting for the right time, and finally he kind of saw that the Rosh Yeshiva had like a second there, that he wasn't surrounded by Talmidim, we're about to give the shir, right after the shir, and he approached him. But chilu rechimu, you know, like with real emotion, he approached him and he introduced himself. Hopfer, he said, my father is Shimon Hopfer. Oh, of course, sure, I remember your father. He's like, all right, I'm in, you know, maybe I'm going to get invited for a meal or something. And he said, actually, my father's Chavrusa Gervitz wanted me to deliver something. And he pulls out this picture. He said, I have a picture of the Rosh Yeshiva from many years ago. Chaim Shmulevitz takes a look at this picture of himself as a 14-year-old. He has this big smile on his face. And as he looks at the picture, the smile disappeared from his face very quickly. And he turned pale and then ashen-faced. And he started saying, oi, 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 oi. And this Hopfer, what just went wrong? What happened? This wasn't supposed to be part of the script. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz started shaking his head, saying, oi, 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 oi. And he went, oi, vey, oi, vey. And he went to the side of the room, and he just started, like, just shaking his head, and he had tears in his eyes. And this Yaakov Hopfer, this boy, didn't know what to do with himself. He's like, oh, my gosh, I messed this up. And he kind of, like, was standing there, and he heard the Rosh Yeshiva saying over and over in Yiddish, where have I been? What have I done? What's become with my life? And he looked at this boy and he said, when I was young, I had such she'ifas. I had such dreams of what I could become. I had such an idea of what one day I could be. Look at me now. What have I done with my life? And what have I become? Oy, what have I become? Okay, so just to frame our continuation here in the diary of Tzitzis Levi. In Mitzon Chalavodas Hashem, our desire is to serve God. Ulaalos is Atzmacha Ma'ala, and to become elevated. V'lo Tamod B'shnas Hashivim L'chayecha Kivyom Bar Mitzvah Shalcha. And not to end up being 70 years old and still be like, you know, where I was when I was a bar mitzvah boy. Like Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says, you know, every year we get older, a year older, a year more mature, with a deeper way of understanding the world, but our understanding and our reading of Chumash Rashi still remains from when we were, you know, 13 years old, 14 years old. As he writes, when he said he wrote a Perush on Chumash, he said he wanted to have a Perush on Chumash for people to know that we have to develop, you know, we can't just stay bar mitzvah boys forever. But if we don't want to end up being 70 years old and still be stuck in our teenage years, they're a wonderful time. It's time to go be outside. Asei zo sefer. Here's what to do. B'chol shana asei lecha matara. Every year, make a target. Tzayer ba'atzmecha, im shimcha Ruvain l'mashal. Imagine for ourselves, visualize for ourselves, if our name is Ruvain or Judah, whatever. Try to imagine, eizu Ruvain tia b'shana haba. Imagine myself a year from now.
Matara
is a goal. A target. Exactly. What I want to be. Imagine myself a year from now. Mayu hasagotav. What is this Reuven? What is this guy, Judah, in Tafshin Ayin Vav, in Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar, Tafshin Ayin Vav, a year from now, what is he going to look like? Avodasa, Midosa, V'chol Tachno. What's his Midos going to be like? He's still going to be Balachatz on Friday afternoon, 45 minutes before Shabbos, like, you know, is he still going to be critical, as critical of his children as he is now and trying desperately not to be? In a year from now, is he still going to, you know, be coming, you know, dreadfully late to Mincha almost every day? Is he still going to be surprised on Shabbos afternoon that they lane? Mayu hasagosav. What's this Reuven? What's this person who I'm visualizing a year from now? What is he going to look like? Is he going to, how many, is he going to know Ksubos? Is he going to be somebody who's read, who's learned Rashi a la Torah this coming year? Is he somebody who is going to learn, you know, a couple of Mishnayos a day? Is he somebody who's going to be making a Siyam on Tanakh? Is he somebody who's going to have lost 20 pounds? I mean, what's he going to look like? Reuven hadimyoni, and this imagined, visualized Reuven, what I'm going to be like then, it'll be like a measuring stick. It'll come be like a reference point. Like I'm imagining myself a certain way, what I can be, what I want to be, what I ought to be.
Are these goals like the kind of goals, or like in theory, like?
I don't know. You tell me.
Finish this sentence. Be this kind
of person. Well, what's the difference? What's the difference between like a theoretical goal and a lamaisa goal? Okay. Okay.
Always look at the good in every Jew. That's like I get. Maybe that's also lamaisa. I don't know.
So here's what he's going to address. That he's going to write. He's going to continue. Imagine once we have that vision of this goal. Once we have this imagined goal or target. So to use it as a reference point, to look back, kama chaser lacha od laharuvein hadimyoni. Am I? You know, how much more do I have to do to reach that place, to reach that goal? I set myself a fundraising goal. I set myself a goal to stick to a program for exercise or for daily practice or for something in avodas Hashem or something in learning or something in midos or whatever it may be. Is what I'm doing today, is my daily practice and my tikkun meisim, what I'm trying to fix and address in my midos, in my avodas Hashem, in my tefillah, in my interaction with people, is what I'm doing right now, yaspiku l'hashlim es ha-ru'uvein shel hashana haba'ah, is my daily practice leading me toward my goal. Meaning, I have this idea of what I want to be, what I ought to be. I'm my imagined self. I have this, like, painted this picture of myself. It could be something very chitzoni, it could be something very pnimi, something very, very intensely personal and private, and something which is very, you know, very deeply connected to my religious identity, to my relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It could be something, you know, a habit, meaning biting my fingernails, or something like I'm going to try to be more attentive to the needs of others around me, specifically regarding A, B, C, and D.
In today's world, they are easy to understand it, because every year you go through an evaluation in work. That's what was expected of you, from you, and that's what you achieved. So the idea is to implement it on yourself.
Am I doing it now? Is my daily practice? Am I cultivating and is the inner working that I'm doing now, and the outer working, and everything. Am I moving toward this goal? Very simple, you know, checking of self on a day-to-day basis to kind of examining myself against my future self, my ideal self, the self that I imagine. V'migia shana haba'a. And if next year comes, and if I get there and I realize, whoa, I'm not anywhere near what I expected to be, what I hoped to be, what I wanted to be. Then we should look at ourselves in the mirror and imagine as if we weren't ma'arich yamim. What does it mean to be ma'arich yamim? It means we didn't fulfill our days. There wasn't length to our days. Every night in Marav, Torah is the life and the length of our days. And we haven't had length in our days. Our days haven't been lived. There's this notion of arichos yamim, of living our days, of having length to our days, often comes up in context of, you know, arichot yamim v'shanim, length of days and length of years. It's not, as Sfasemis explains, it's not specifically referring to a quantitative value. It's not just about length, meaning how many days have I lived in the world, how many months have I lived, how many years, but how thoroughly and how deeply have I lived those years? How much have I maximized the moments? How much have I maximized my opportunities? So we're going to come to the pasuk about Avram Avinu being Baba Yamim. So some explains that Arichos Yamim is different than Arichos Shanim. It's not just about, you know, living a long life. We're not just talking about living a long life. We want to live a life where we're maximizing our time, where we're making the most of our opportunities. So the Eitzah here, what the Rebbe is kind of laying out, is a program for self-development by visualizing myself and then checking myself on a constant basis, on a consistent basis. Am I working toward who I want to be and what I want to be? And if I'm not, then I'm not being ma'arich yamim. I'm not valuing my days. I'm not getting the most. I'm not getting the bang for the buck that of this life that Hashem is giving me. There's a Gemara in Megillah at the end of Chaf Zayin. It's one of the most beautiful Gemaras, I think, in Megillah. Gemara asks there, you know, has a few different opinions of different sages, answering the question or addressing the question, Bameha arachta yamim. How did you, you know, get the most out of life? How did you live a long life? Because we know, the Torah tells us, that there's different ways of having arichos yamim, having a long life. There's, you know, kibud av ve'em, and there's anashulach hakan. There's different things. But what the Gemara is addressing is, how did you get the most out of life? Where did your arichos yamim come from? You know that Gemara I'm referring to? Familiar to anyone? It's great. And each Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Preda, and each one has a different. I'm sorry, I didn't print it out or bring it up. But one says I never made the shul into a kapandari. I never used the shul as a shortcut. Another said I was always makbid to come to davening on time. Another one of the sages said, you know, I was careful to not get angry. Everybody had different ways of being ma'arich yamin, of getting the most out of life, or tapping into, you know, maximizing the opportunities in life. It's like a funny kind of a Gemara, meaning like, it's obviously not talking about something quantitative, because everybody's saying something different. So the Netziv explains in this Gemara that it obviously is referring to the fact that every single person is different. Each one of these sages, each one of the Tanaim quoted in the Gemara, and the Amoraim quoted in the Gemara was different and had their own specific challenges and their own specific, you know, doors that were locked in front of them that they had to unlock with this personal avoda, with this tikkun hamidot, with this personal expression of divine service. And likewise, every single one of us has our tikkun to make, our fixing, our struggle, our challenge. We have our own individual kochos hanefesh. We have our own individual strengths and abilities. We each of us have our own set of tools and our own set of variables and our own skeletons in the closet and our own baggage and our own strengths and our own hopes and desires and our own family background and our own intellectual ability. Bameha arachta yamim is a question that we're going to have to answer. at the end? Did we envision ourselves as our greater selves? Did we envision a greater self? Did we work toward it? How did you? B'me arachta yamimras or b'zera or prayed? Did they say, "I didn't make a shortcut through the shul"? Like that was your big challenge in life? Like, I don't know. I have lashon hara I'm working on. Again, not criticizing people, not judging people, not getting caught up in looking on the outside of things, trying to make time every day for Torah study outside of my comfort zone. I mean, I don't know, breaking some personal midah, sometimes someone stingy or self-centered, meaning I didn't cut through the shul, I didn't use the shul as a shortcut, right? The answer is that every single person, and with the Mefarshim also explain what that means about being mechabed, respecting space and respecting other people, and kind of treating the shul with proper respect. But really, what the Netziv says is that every person has their own tikkun to make. Every person has their own challenge and has their own job in the world, and we're all different. And arichas yamim is something which is a very personal thing, and only I can visualize for myself what I ought to be and what I can be and what I'd like to be, because I'm the only one who's living my life, the only one who is able to really know my innermost struggles. And just like every person has their own challenge and every person has their own set of variables to deal with on an emotional and intellectual level, so it's also every day has its own challenge, and every period of life has its challenges. That's like the other side of this diary entry here, is that, and I read this, you know, it's kind of like Yorid Kaved, like it's coming down very heavy. You know, he's saying like, Rak Ruvein Asher Lefnei Shano Asher Lefnei Eser Shanim Chai, meaning if I get to Rosh Hashanah, Ayin Vav, and I'm not there. I didn't reach. I didn't become the person that I didn't hit the target that I wanted to. I didn't, you know, follow through with those learning goals and follow through with those personal goals. And I didn't get, you know, reach those sheifos, those yearnings for greatness of becoming what I imagined myself able to become. Then he's saying it's as if I didn't live. I mean, I've regressed. Raka Ruven Asher Lefnei Shana Asher Lefnei Eser Shanim Chai. I'm not alive. I'm living somewhere in the past. I'm a Ruven that was an Ayin Hey, and I'm an Ayin Dalet Judah. I'm a Tufshin Ayin Gimel Judah. I'm a Judah of 2013. I mean, this happens like, I don't know. We're all kind of in different stages of life, but I imagine at some point, most of us at least, had the experience of like bumping into somebody from our youth, or bumping into somebody from the old days, bumping into somebody from the old neighborhood or from the old country, you know. And there's kind of like this often this funny interaction. I remember the first time I was in my hometown, but where I went to school, and I had two little kids with me. It was just, you know, we were still two little, our two youngest, a 3-year-old and a 1.5-year-old and a. My wife had to go somewhere, and I had at that point, I remember, like, it was Friday afternoon. I remember very well. It was Friday afternoon. I went to the mikvah and Pinek. I was wearing tzitzis over my shirt just because I was stinky undershirt, and I didn't want the shirt to get in. It wasn't like a thing. It was just it just turned out that way, and I wasn't thinking. I'm in Pinek, and I shouldn't. Yeah? And I had to pick up my kids, and I had the two kids, and I had to fill like 45 minutes there on Friday afternoon. So I took them to 7-Eleven to pick out candies, you know, treats. Come, pick out whatever you want. I'll be a big veer. You know, nothing there is more than a dollar and a half or whatever it is. Come, we'll get a little freezies or something before Shabbos and whatever it is. So I walked in there, and I guess I had the look, a beard and tzitzis over my shirt, and two little kids with me. I bumped into a classmate from high school that I hadn't seen in years. Probably hadn't seen him in about, I don't know, 10 years or so. And I got oh my God, Joe Michelle, what happened to you? Like, I heard that you were like living in Israel or something. What, like, you know? This is a girl I went to high school with. I hadn't seen since graduation. You know, a decade had passed, or whatever, better part of a decade had passed. And she's like, "You look so different. Like, what happened?" And I remember feeling like so put off by, like, what are you getting, you know. But I was like, thinking about it afterwards, I was like, wow, what a nice compliment, you know, like, yeah, things changed. There was some movement there over the past few years. Like, something shifted. Yeah, I grew up a little bit. I kind of had like a little bit of a paradigm shift in life. A little bit, not, you know, a little bit, but small movements in a big system kind of can create great change. And yeah, I got married and moved to Eretz Israel, and yeah, you know, I was coming from Mikveh of Shabbos, and I guess she saw the Tzura of, you know, Shabbos on me or something, I don't know. I was with my kids, and I had these two kids, and she wasn't married, and kind of, you know, I said, "What are you up to?" She's like, "Oh," and she's just telling me about all these people, that they're all still friends, and they all still hang out, and then, and she's like, "Yeah, it's just like high school." You know? And, you know, I'm not like sitting here and, you know, I'm sure it's not just like high school, I'm sure everybody's growing in their own way, but you know, we could very much relate to what the Rebbe's here, what the Rebbe's saying here is that, like, we are moving, and we do want to move more, but the downside, or the potential downside of this, and I don't mean to, again, push back Chas V'Shalom on the thing, but just trying to read this in a very personal way. I think it's a personal diary, it's a personal expression, so everybody has to read it in their own personal way here. I think, I hope that the Rebbe's intentions here is for us to struggle with this and kind of chew it over and see how it really applies to us, is that the potential downside of something like this is, you know, Rosh Hashanah, I make these big plans. Aseres Yemei Teshuva, I make these big plans for myself of what I'm going to do this year. This is my year to do Yevamos. This is my year to lose weight. This is my year. And I set these big goals and these high standards, and I set this matara for myself, this target, this goal. And I imagine myself a certain way. And even if I try, and even if I'm putting in effort, sometimes the reality and the vicissitudes of day-to-day life get in the way. And there's also, like, things change, you know, like variables change, jobs change, person's health and family and community, and like not everything is a petri dish, and not everything is, you know, like not everything is scripted, and there's curveballs and there's wind, and things kind of like change, and you know, so maybe I'm going to get to Rosh Hashanah Ayin Vav and it's not going to be the same, but it doesn't mean that I didn't try, it doesn't mean that I didn't work, it doesn't mean that I didn't, you know, have good intentions, it doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't have nachas. The downside of these she'ifot, of these big yearnings and this visualization of my greater self, is that it could sometimes lead to great frustration and agitation. A person could be mitatzbein from it. You could really, you know, feel this tremendous pressure.
Unless we take the idea
that there's a longer, shorter way, and there's ups and downs.
Right, and also a longer, shorter way. In the area of disabilities, there is an approach for personal planning that is like this. The only thing is that it's secular and it doesn't include Hashem. So, you know, when you made reference to Matara, so that's goal. But if Matara isn't based on one's concept of Tachlis, what is your purpose? And the problem is that the goals that we set could be egotistical. You know, they're not in the Avodah Hashem. So, and if it's with a sense of the Tachlis of Hashem, and we're constantly throughout the year aware that Hishkacha practice is at work all the time, then that should help us not to be so disillusioned if we don't reach that vision point at that time.
I'm with you.
He qualifies it. He says, in other words, it's not that you didn't reach the Reuven, it's that you didn't even come close. So he does qualify it and
meaning
say,
if you came close, then
he says, yeah. Now there's set high goals. Of course, your goal should be to reach the goals. If you don't 100% reach the goals, Okay, but if you didn't even come close, then you know something's really wrong.
Right.
So I think he does qualify it, and I think that's an important...
Yeah.
It has an answer, but the question is, how does one do this? In other words, the problem with most people is that we haven't got a plan. You know, it's Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur comes, and everyone's sets the goals. But what you've got to do, I think what he's saying is that everyone has to have a diary. You have to be filling out your diary every day. If you have not doing that, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in a year's time automatically. If you're not doing Mishnah, two Mishnahs a day, you're not going to finish your quota Mishnahs because it's Pshut Lord.
Yeah.
So that's the.
Yeah, that's ultimately what the bottom line is that this is really a continuation of what we learned last week, is that we just have to be keeping track of ourselves. This is about awareness. This is a cry for mindfulness, to be living life in an aware, an awake way, and keeping track of that. And one way to keep track of that is literally with a diary, which is what we discussed last week. And here's how this entry ends.
Are you checking the homework? Otherwise, all the other shiurim the person goes to without doing it, everyone's going to have a diary.
Yeah, so this is about cultivating daily practice. This is exactly the point. Cultivating daily practice. This is about cultivating practice.
Habits.
You know, I think that it's about... very simply, living life in a more mindful way, in a more heartful way, doesn't mean being stuck in this delusionary goal that I made when I was high during the Yom Narayim time. It means taking stock, whether it's daily or weekly before Shabbos or monthly, but to evaluate and reevaluate and reorient constantly, you know, movement. And sometimes there are, you know, just like in a heartbeat, there's ups and there's downs, and that's normal, and that's appropriate, and that's healthy, and that's the way Hashem made the world. That's the topography of the soul. But to make sure that we are aware of that movement. Again, that's going to be the recurring theme that comes up here constantly, is to be aware of it, and to create methodology in our daily practice to maintain that awareness, to cultivate that awareness. V'Avraham Zaken Ba B'Yamim. And Avraham was getting on in years. It literally means ba b'yamim. He came with his days. V'Hashem beirach as Avraham bako. Avraham shel hayom. Avraham of today. Hayah shel hayom. V'lo ha'Avraham shel etmol. Avraham of this day was the Avraham of this day, and not the Avraham of yesterday. We can understand this in lots of different ways. Avram was someone who was engaged in Avram was the man of Lech Lecha, the man of movement, of growth, of searching, of yearning, a person of constant development. Avram was lots of things. Avram was involved in politics. Avram was involved in military endeavors. Avram was a businessman, Kaved Ma'od. He was a magnate. He was a philanthropist. Avram Avinu was a philosopher. Avram was a theologian. He was a teacher. He was turning the world over, developing a whole new methodology in monotheism, and demanding that create some change in people's day-to-day lives. He was meeting with Avimelech, with Malkitzedek, with Paro, Avner, Eshkol, Mamre. I mean, he was somebody who was a diplomat. He was all over the place. Most importantly, Avram Avinu was a father. He was a father. That's what he yearned to be. He was a husband. We have his whole relationship with his wife. We have Avram Avinu taking responsibility for Lot. And then we have Avram the individual, who is somebody who is constantly changing. Avram shel hayom, haya shel hayom. How Avram Avinu was able to achieve all of these different things, and how Avram Avinu was able to consistently grow throughout all these different dimensions of his personality, of all these different expressions of himself. And we could suggest is that Avraham Avinu was someone who's connected to the day that he was in. He was living mindfully. I mean, this is where I'm at trying to understand here. But Avram shel hayom, haya shel hayom. Avraham Avinu was somebody who lived in the moment. As much as we see that from the first test that Avraham is assigned in the Torah of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, till, you know, the according to some of the Rishonim, at least the most intense and difficult test, which was Akedas Yitzchak, says that Hashem told him, Lech Lecha l'Eretz HaMoriah, in other words, those two bookends, both involve Lech Lecha, movement and growth and development, and striving and moving. To get from one place to the next, Avraham Avinu certainly had some target, had some goal, again, this matara of living a tachlis-oriented, God-centered life that required movement. The dialectic here, I guess the irony, is how to reach that virtual self or that ideal self, that imagined self, the ideal me or the developed me that I want to see in a year from now, only can happen by very much living in the now, very much being present. As much as I have this goal that I want to learn Mishnah, I want to learn Yevamos, it's not going to happen unless I sit there and go line by line. Even though when I learned the Yevamos this year, I don't know if you can call it Yevamos, it was more like a Sephardish lady saying Tchinos, or like a Breslover reading Zohar. I was banging out 3-4 pages at a time sometimes, like zugging it like somebody who, you know, was just going for it. But I had a goal, and I said, I'm doing it this year. It's not happening that another year is going to pass by, and I've never seen the inside of this tractate. It's not happening. I said, it's not happening. I said, I need to do it. And there were certain times, like Rav Noach Weinberg is in Tzal, Rosh Hashiva and Esha Torah, once said, I was in a class once of his in Jerusalem. He once said, you have to imagine yourself every day, have a certain amount of things that you have to do every day. And before your head hits that pillow at night, say, this is it. I mean, it's a little bit heavy. It's a little bit of a heavy, kind of a drastic way. He said, say, this is it, my last day on earth. This is my last chance. And I had a goal for myself today. I'm not going down not having fulfilled my goal. He said, no matter what, imagine yourself not being alive, but finishing those couple of things on your checklist. I said, that's why, make sure what's on your checklist is realistic. Don't say I'm learning 30 Mishnayos a day. I'm not learning 10 Prakim of Tanakh a day. I mean, everybody has their own, I mean, maybe for some of us that is realistic. He said, if Daf Yomi is not realistic, then say Amud Yomi. If Amud Yomi is not realistic, so then Schottenstein Amud Yomi. Something. But say that come hell or high water, this is what I'm doing for today. For today, this is what I'm doing, and I'm not going to miss that benchmark. I'm not going to miss that benchmark. I feel like that's, you know, at least for myself, something that very much trying to work on and be okay with, and say, you know, I'm not reaching for a goal that's beyond what I could achieve, beyond what I could accomplish, because I'm constantly reevaluating it based on my reality. I think that's being faithful to the Abrahamic tradition of being somebody who's living in Hayom, living in today. This is one of the most important Torahs in Likutei Moran. 2:2:2. It's easy to remember. Resh Ayin Beis, or as they write it, Ayin Resh Beis. Shouldn't be hungry. He quotes. He begins this Torah. It's just a short Torah, but it's so on point. And I don't know that John Kabat-Zinn learns Likutei Moran, but it certainly seems that he does. Quotes a pasuk from Tehillim, L'chun Aranana, but we start our Kabbalat Shabbat with every Friday night. Kilo Keinu, V'anachnu Amriso V'tzon Yado. We say that Hashem is our God, and we're like His pasture, His flock. Hayom im Bekolo Tishmo. On this day, if we heed His voice. In other words, regardless of what happened in our lives up until this moment, regardless of where we're at, regardless of what's happened, Hayom im Bekol Tishmolo. If we take upon ourselves now to listen, we start again now. We're mitchadesh, we renew. Then we're considered part of Hashem's flock, and we're considered the people of His pasture. Hayom im Bekol Tishmolo. Says Rabbeinu, Zeh Klal Gadol Ba'Avodas Hashem. This is a fundamental and major rule in the service of God. Shelo Yasim LeNeged Einav Kiim Oto Hayom. We can't visualize or imagine anything beyond what is in front of us right now, today. For today. Whether it's regarding our parnasa and our work. We can't affect anything that's not in front of me right now. regarding our specific avodas Hashem, it's also true. Lo yasim leneged einav kim oso hayom va'oso hashah. Don't imagine leneged einav. Don't imagine or picture anything more that is right in front of me now. Ki kisherotz in the kanes b'avodas Hashem. We want to enter into the world of serving God. Nidme la'adam ki'ilu humasak kaved. It's so overwhelming. Like an Uncle Moshe song about all the svarim that are in the library. So much to learn, Rebbe. All the svarim in the library. Take so long just to learn, everyone. I'm afraid I'll never be a Talmud Chacham. It's like this heartbreaking song. Uncle Bobby says, listen, Talmud. Just listen. If you learn the Torah and review it with a friend, a little bit every day, so then you'll reach it. But if I look at like these shelves, I could just sometimes, sometimes it's inspiring. I imagine myself being somebody who finishes Shas and knows Shas. I imagine myself being someone who's able to run 5K at a decent clip. Or I imagine myself as being somebody who's able to take insult and not respond. Or I imagine myself somebody, Erev Shabbos, who's just got it together and everything's cool and everything's Rosh Gadol and everything's smooth. I imagine myself, but then those moments, then like reality sinks in. Day to day happens and it's just, you're there and it's like, ah. It's Masa Kaved. How am I never going to, how am I going to lose 30 pounds? How am I going to finish Shas? It's a Masa Kaved. How am I never going to speak Lashon Hara again? If Sharlo Lisa Masa Kaved Kazo, I can't do it. It's overwhelming. The target is just too far off. Aval Kishiechshov She'ein Lo Rak Oso Hayom. But if I imagine, if I visualize, if I recognize the truth that there's nothing other than today, Lo yelo masaklal. Then it's not a burden. It's not about I'm davening with this kavana every day and never being mafsik and always getting to shul on time and coming down. I'm always going to take time for learning. No, for today, right now, today. V'gam shelo yidchas atzmo yom liyomar. And also we can't, on the other hand, we can't procrastinate and make excuses and say, Machar etchil, I'm going to start tomorrow, and I'll start next week, and I'll wait till Rosh Chodesh, and I'll wait till next year. Ki ein la'adam ba'olamo, ki im oso hayom, va'oso hashah sha'omid bo. There's no such thing as yesterday, and tomorrow isn't here yet. It's a question of how much we are able to be here now.
That's what it's called. That programs have aphorisms like just
for today.
One day at a time.
For today. Mm-hmm. And that's what Ibn Nachman's saying, we have to start over and over sometimes.
What's the number of that?
222. Rish Chafbet? Rish Ayin. Rish Ayin. Rish Ayin. 272. Excuse me, 272.
The same one as the Zamra.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry. That's Rish Peibet. This is Rish Ayin. I'm sorry. 272. Ke'ein la'adam ba'olamo kim oso hayom va'oso hashah sha'omeid ba. We don't have anything. Yesterday was, tomorrow, may or may not be. I don't know where I'm going to be. And all we have is the present. That's why they call it a gift. That's what they say in family first. It's a whole other world what's going to be in the future. Hayom in Bekolo Tishmao. Hearing the particular, individual, specific voice of today. Every single day has its opportunity. Every single moment has its challenge. Just like every single person is ma'arich yomim in a different way. The way the Gemara describes, each one of the sages was able to find meaning and depth in life and be able to maximize their life and their opportunities and have arichos yomim in their own specific personal way. Ve'avram ba ba'yomim. V'ashem beirachas avram bakol. Avram shel hayom, hayashel hayom. Avram Avinu had all these nisyonos, these 10 tests, and he ascended this great ladder, and he left this incredible heritage. And bottom line, Avram Avinu is Avram Avinu, because Avram shel hayom, hayah shel hayom. V'lo Avram shel esmol. It wasn't from yesterday. I think it's also what we say in Marv when we daven. We ask Hashem to save us from a satan milfaneinu me'achareinu. We ask Hashem to protect us from this satan, from this pursuer, from this evil urge, this evil inclination, this from what's milfaneinu me'achareinu. I always heard that it means, the nisyonos that we see in front of us, the nisyonot of whether it's the extra cake, or it's that the forbidden image, or whatever it may be, or that wrong turn that we shouldn't go down, or whatever it may be, milfaneinu, me'acharenu, the mistakes that we potentially could make in the future, and that which we made in the past that shouldn't pursue us, the mistakes that happened in the past, leave them be, leave them be, leave them be. But it's not just that which went wrong in the past. Not just the mess-ups, because how much of it, not healthy or productive, or according to the will of Hashem, I don't think, to be stuck in the past or to be focused on the future, because then we miss the greatest gift, we miss the greatest opportunity. The Satan milfaneinu me'acharenu is everything that's going to happen in the future, even imagining the good things. Me'acharenu, even the good things that happened. Yeah, it's true. I did finish Yevamos. It's true. I finished Yevamos, and I have to feel good about it. But I don't want my Yiddishkeit to be nostalgic, to be thinking about the good old days of what was, or to be thinking about soon it's going to be Purim. I'll be strong. You know, Purim I'll be strong. Pesach, I always do well on Pesach. But Hayom, right now, as the Zohar says, Chol Yom Avod Avirate, every day has its avoda. Every day has its opportunity. And as much as we're excited that Adar is coming in Od Ma'at, we're almost there for Adar, still the last days of Shvat have their opportunity too. And as much as we're looking forward to Shabbos, you know, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Shabbos is built by every day being meaningful. I can become the me that I want to become by being ma'arich yamim, by valuing my days day by day. What am I doing today? It's true, I have this visualization of what I want to be, what I ought to be, and I have this, you know, this future self, and keeping a diary, and it's good. And I don't know, this is not a drasha, because I feel like with myself, most of my life I see where I am, and I kind of draw a target around it and say, oh, This is good. This is where I'm supposed to be, and now I'm going to try to reevaluate from here. And I'm that guy, but I guess like Reb Dan was saying, even if we didn't get lekarsulei Ruvein Shal Shana Chadasha, you know, to take value and to take pride and to be mindful and respectful and appreciative of the movement that we make and the good that we're doing. It's a good question. I think, like, you know, it's different when you're how old? You're 16? 17. It's different when you're 17 and when you're 37 and when you're 47 or 57 and 67. And a lot of it's trial and error. A lot of it's trial and error. Sometimes we have big eyes and we go shopping when we're hungry. We fill up the cart with all sorts of stuff. And when you have, so, you know, one stage of life with a certain level of responsibility, and another stage of life when we have bagriyot, and another stage of life when we have parnasa, and another stage of life when we have a family, another stage of life when we have all these things. So we have to constantly be reevaluating and always be a little bit outside of our comfort zone. Always a little bit, mati velo mati, a little bit, you know, reaching past the point of what's comfortable for us. And that's why you have a Rebbe, and that's why you have to talk to Hashem, and be mitbodeh and talk to Hashem and ask Hashem that I should be honest with myself, so that in our daily practice we're cultivating real movement toward our ultimate self. So at the end of the day we could be Baba Yamim. We can come at the end of our life with a fullness of days. But it comes also by being respectful and mindful and unconditionally accepting of the fact that every day is different, being mekabel that day and embracing that day and its nisyonos. As a gift of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was specifically laying out for us as a challenge and as an opportunity, Hayom and Bekol Tishmo, to be able to make the most of our every opportunity. And then, Be'ez Hashem, we'll be able to kinid lahalos atzmecha, atzmeinu mala mala, and continue to grow in our avodas Hashem in every way.
This is the kasha of the opening story there.
Yeah. Well, no matter what we accomplish, we owe you. No matter what we accomplish, even Rav Chaim Shmulevitz imagined himself as something greater than he ultimately became.
Yeah.
The good news is you're not racing against Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and neither am I. We only have to run our own race, and we only have to compare ourselves against ourselves.
Yeah, we don't know what was.